Well, good morning, church. I'm so grateful and I'm so humble that you've chosen to get on Facebook Live this morning and come and worship with us. And if you didn't know already, it is Palm Sunday. So happy Palm Sunday to you. And I just want to encourage you this morning that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey on that Palm Sunday in Matthew 21, they cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." In other words, they recognized that Jesus was the King. And I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus is still King. All of these things that are happening in our world today, you know, it looks like other people are seated on the throne. It looks like things are beginning to happen. We're filled with worry, we're filled with fear, and we're filled with anxiety today. But you know, I am so incredibly thankful that we still have a God who is seated on the throne. Our God is not taking a nap. Our God is not slumbering, and our God is not sleeping, but our God is still on the throne, and today Jesus is still King. You know, in Psalm 113, the Bible says, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." In other words, as soon as the sun rises in the morning, we praise the Lord. And until the time the sun goes down at night, we praise the Lord. So I hope wherever you are today, whether you're riding in your car, whether you're seated on your couch, or whether you're still in the bed in your pajamas, I pray that you are determined today that you are going to praise the Lord. There are a few things that I want you to do right before we get started, though. If you're here and you're watching on Facebook with us, all you've got to do is hit the little share button. I think it's down on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit that little share button, and the people that are on your page will get to see what is going on here at our church today. So if your family, your friends, your coworkers are on Facebook on your page, they'll get to see it, and they might get to just receive a blessing from it. Also, you know, it's hard not being able to meet together with one another. I've said this before, we're the body of Christ. And the body of Christ wasn't meant to be separated. The body of Christ was always meant to be together. And although we can't be together right now, there is one thing that you can do right now, and that is pray. And I'm so thankful that no matter where you are on the face of the planet, the Bible says there's a God in heaven whom when we pray in Jesus' name, He hears every single word that we say. So church, no matter where you're seated right now, what I want you to do right now is I want you to pray with me. And I want you to pray that God will speak to your heart this morning. I don't know about you, but I need something from God. I need something from God to bless us today. And I want you to receive a blessing today from the singing, from the worship, and from the preaching of God's Word. So I just want you to pray right where you are that God will speak to your heart this morning. God would do a work in your heart, but most of all, that if somebody on your Facebook page is watching and they're lost, I want you to pray that God would prick their heart and that God would bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I don't know about you, I am so glad to be saved today. There's nothing that I'd rather be than a child of God. So if you would, right where you are, pray with me. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for this absolutely beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, the past week, you've given us so many beautiful days. And Lord, we just want to thank you for blessing us once again with this beautiful day, Lord. And thank you for this is the Lord's day, that we can come together, we can worship you, and we can praise you no matter where we are, God. You said where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And Lord, I want to thank you today that although there's not many right here in this church, that you're here. And God, I pray that wherever our people are gathered together at their homes, I pray that you meet with them in their homes as well, Lord, and speak to their heart. And Lord, most of all, I pray for someone, if they're listening and they're not sure that they're saved, I pray that by the end of this service today that they would make it sure and they would be confident that they have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray for our doctors. We pray for our president and vice president and all the leaders of our country. You continue to give them wisdom, God. And I pray, Lord, that you will heal our land. God, we need physical healing right now. And you're a God that does that as well. But Lord, more than that, we need a spiritual healing. And God, I pray that even before you may heal us physically, I pray that you might heal us spiritually. People may turn to you like they never have before, and you might start a great revival in our nation through this, God. Lord, you are so good to us, and your name is to be praised. And I pray today that as Miss Nan plays and Brother Danny and Miss Carol sing for us, I pray that right where we are, that we will praise you with our voices and we will worship you with our hearts. Lord, we love you today, and I pray that your people will receive a blessing. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, right where you are, Brother Danny and Miss Carol, they're going to play. They're going to sing for us, and I invite you to praise the Lord. I invite you to sing with us. The words will be right up here on the screen if you can see them. We invite you to just worship and praise with us today.
Yes, join in with us from home. I miss each and every one of you. Miss your faces, miss your just being together, the times that we have spent. It is sad, but it's wonderful that we can have this opportunity to praise and worship our Lord today. So join in with us, and we're in hopes that this will soon pass, and we'll be together again. I love you.
We will remember, we will remember. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
still on His throne. And we can have faith today that the Lord Jesus Christ is still the King, and He is still on the throne today. Now, I don't know if you can feel it as sitting on your couch, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here today. And you know, this might be the day that I just take off and run a lap, and y'all wouldn't get to see it. I've been warning you for almost 2 years now that I'm going to take a lap, and today might just be the day. So I might get Monica to turn the camera around as I take off running around here. She wouldn't have to do it too quick. I've gained some weight. I wouldn't run too fast. But anyway, I'm so thankful that you're on here today and that you are here, and I pray that you will receive a blessing today. And I've already been blessed from the singing today, and I pray that you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, right where you are, I invite you to go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, and we'll be in chapter number 12 this morning. The second book of the Old Testament, Exodus. Find your place in chapter number 12, and we will read the first 13 verses this morning. Now, this text is probably very familiar to a lot of you. For some of you, you may have never heard this before. So I'm just going to preach it today like nobody's ever heard it before. So I'm so excited to be at Exodus 12 today. So we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." And I like this part, "I am the Lord." Verse 13 is my favorite verse. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Father, I pray you'll bless your word. I pray that you'll bless the preaching of it, God, and just give us a blessing out of it. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You know, the year was 1776. Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, amongst many others, were sitting around a huge table, and they were about to put their signatures on one of the most important documents in American history. I can only imagine on that hot July morning, they never knew that 200 some years later, people would still be talking about that day. Because you know, on that day, July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed, and America was declared an independent and a free nation on that day. And nearly every single year since that day, on July the 4th, families all across our great nation gather together for cookouts, pool parties, fireworks, and grilled hamburgers and hot dogs. Somebody say amen. Every single year since then, people gather together to celebrate that historic day that America was an independent and a free nation some 200 years ago. Now, I tell you that for this reason. In the nation of Israel, they have a similar thing that happens every single year. On the 14th day of their first month called Nisan, Jewish families from all over the world gather together to celebrate and remember a day called Passover. Now Passover, just like July the 4th, is a great time of celebration as well. For Passover remembers and commemorates the night in Exodus 12, some 3,000 years ago, when God set His people Israel free from Egyptian bondage. And if you have a calendar hanging up in your home, you'll see that this Wednesday, I think July the 8th, at sundown, begins the time called Passover, because that is the 14th day of Nisan on their calendar. And on that day, Wednesday, beginning at sundown, Jews from all over the globe will begin to celebrate and remember this time called Passover. Now this morning, just what I want to do, just for the next few minutes, we're not going to be long today, I want to take you back some 3,000 years ago in your mind to that night that they're going to celebrate this week, that night called the first Passover. That's what we're going to preach on this morning, the first Passover. What I want you to do is I want you to just imagine all of these things in your mind. I want you to walk with me back to a place called Egypt. About 3,000 years ago, it's just all sand, there's all plains, there's a little bit of hills, there's not much, there's some of the pyramids that are already there, there's some sphinxes that they've built there. And all up and down a place called Goshen are houses, and in those houses are Hebrew families. And those Hebrew families have lived there for about 400 some years. And every morning that these Jewish and Hebrew families wake up, it is hard-pressed for them to find joy. They wake up every day and they're probably filled with worry. They're filled with fear. Because every morning those Hebrew families wake up, they are under a cruel and hard master. And that master's name is Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh of Egypt has made a decree that every single Hebrew that lives in Egypt is going to be their slaves. So every day these Hebrew families wake up, they are under bondage and they are slaves to something they have no power over. They are slaves to something that they cannot set themselves free from because they don't have the power to do it themselves. Every morning these Jewish families wake up, maybe they're just hoping something will happen and they'll become free, but every single morning of their life they've woke up and it's the same. They're miserable, they're depressed, they're fear, and they're filled with bondage and they are slaves to the Egyptians. But you know, as we get to the book of Exodus, things have begun to change a little bit in Egypt. For the past few weeks, a man named Moses showed up. And he gathers all of the Hebrews together and said, I want to tell you who I just had a conversation with. I just had a conversation with the great I Am. And he said that he is sending me to set you, the people of God, free. And he says, when God sets you free, you will no longer be slaves, but you will find a new life. And it will be in a new land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the grapes in that land are big enough to eat for weeks. And you can imagine their eyes get big and they're saying, uh-oh, there is hope. We are going to find freedom through this man named Moses and through the God of our fathers. You know, in Egypt, they had a lot of gods. They didn't have just one god. They had many gods. But the God of heaven begins to show up in Egypt. And He begins to tell the people and show the people, no. There's not many gods. There's one God. And I will show myself to you. And for the last few weeks in Egypt, God has begun to send plagues to the Egyptians. He sent a plague of lice. He sent a plague of frogs. And that would have been enough for me right there. I'd have been up and out of Egypt. I see one frog, you see me running down the road. I mean, God sent these plagues of all these bugs, the flies. He even sent hail. And the Bible tells you the last 3 days that before we get to Exodus 12, there has been complete darkness for 72 hours. No sun, no moon, no stars, no light has shined for 72 hours in the land of Egypt. And God is trying to get the people's attention and say, you've worshipped all these other gods for all this time, but I'm trying to show you there is only one God and I have all the power to do all of these things. God is showing Himself. And God has really gotten the people's attention in Egypt. And like Jimmy said last week, God is an attention getter. And God is beginning to do that in Exodus chapter number 12. As we get to chapter number 12, this night is about to change everything. Because this night is what we call the first Passover. Moses has just come to the people and said, if you will do exactly as God has told you to do, tonight you will find the life you've always longed for. Tonight you will find freedom. Tonight everything will change forever if you will just do exactly as God is telling you to do. For on this night that we call the Passover, God has said the death angel, the destroyer, will be coming through the land of Egypt. He will pass by every single house in Egypt, and every single firstborn in the land of Egypt will die tonight. Every single house, a firstborn, is going to die. But you know, as you move on in the text, God not only made a promise that death was coming, God made a provision so that they might not experience death. God said, if you will just do exactly as I say, death won't be able to enter into your house. If you will just do exactly as I say, you will find life. And today I just want to give you those things that God told them to do in order to find life. And when I give you these things today, we're just going to go through the text. I want you to realize how specific God is, all right? The first thing that I want you to see, number one, God says, I want you to take a spotless lamb. I want you to take a spotless lamb. Look at verse 3. Speak unto the congregation, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take every man a lamb. He goes on to say in verse number 5, not just any old lamb, but verse number 5 said, this lamb shall be without blemish. In other words, the lamb that you take is not a lamb that's supposed to be dirty. It is not a lamb that's been attacked by wolves. It's not a lamb that doesn't have one mark on it. But it is a lamb that is perfectly pure. It is a lamb that is perfectly clean. And as Isaiah says, it is a lamb that is white as snow. So God said, on the 10th day of the month, take a lamb to every single house, to every single man, and that lamb is not just any old lamb, but that lamb is to be a spotless lamb and a lamb without blemish. So number one, God said, I want you to take a spotless lamb. Second thing God said, not only are you to take a spotless lamb, but you are to sacrifice that lamb. I want you to look at what happens 5 days later. Verse 6. You shall keep this lamb up until the 14th day of the month. And on the 14th day, the whole congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So God says you take it on the 10th, and on the 14th, you kill it. Now, do you notice how specific God is? God didn't say, I want you to kill it on the 13th day of the month. God did not say, I want you to kill it on the 15th day of the month. But God said very specifically, take this lamb and kill it on the 14th day of the month. Because if they were one day late, they would be too late. And they too would die. Can I tell you something this morning, church? That is why it is absolutely so essential to obey God. And to do exactly as God tells us to do. Charles Stanley said this. He said, obeying God means doing what God says, how God says, and when God says. Unless you do all of those three, you're not obeying God. Sometimes we do what God says, but we're a little late on it, aren't we? Because we're a little bit scared to do it. But obeying God means doing what God says, how God says, and when God says it. And that's why it's so essential to obey God. You'll see why here in a second. Verse number 6 says, kill it on the 14th day. Verse number 7 says, once you kill it, and what they did was this is going to get a little bit nasty for you, they would slit its throat. And they would put a bucket underneath this lamb, and the blood would just pour out in this basin or this bucket. And verse 7 said, God said this, I want you to take of that lamb's blood, and I want you to strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of your house. In other words, I want you to take something, some hyssop, some plant, dip it in the blood, and go to your front door, put it on the top and on the two sides of the door. And then verse 8 says, that's the blood of the lamb. But what about the flesh of the lamb? What about the body of the lamb? Verse 8 says, you shall eat the flesh in that night. And notice, he says, roast it with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Now, some of you may not like this. This is a little bit gruesome. But even now, when they have the Passover beginning on this Wednesday night in Israel and all across the Jewish families, they do this. They kill the lamb and they roast the lamb. And when they roast the lamb, what they do is they lay it down here on the fire. And what they do is they put a big, huge wooden post through it in order to keep it there so they could spin it. You've seen something like that. But also what they do is this. They crack the rib cage of the lamb. And they open it up. And you know how they keep it open? They put a horizontal bar in there. Some of you might get that. So when that lamb is being roasted on the fire, that lamb is literally on a vertical and a horizontal cross. So on Passover, every single year, a lamb is put on a cross and roasted. We'll get to that a little bit later. But God says, listen, take a spotless lamb, sacrifice that lamb, shed its blood, and put the door on the two side posts and on the upper door posts. And then roast the lamb and eat the lamb. Now the third thing that I want you to see is this. Spotless lamb, sacrificial lamb. But next you are going to see some spared people. Now why does God command them to do all of this so specifically? Verse 11 says this. The reason you're to do this is because this lamb is the Lord's Passover. Verse number 12 says God is going to pass through the land of Egypt this night. And He's going to pass by every single house. But verse 13 says this. The blood shall be to you for a token. The blood shall be to you for a sign. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence the name Passover. So that night when that angel or when God passed through the land of Egypt, He was not looking on the inside of the house to see if those people's good deeds outweighed their bad deeds. He was not looking on the inside of the house to see if those people paid their tithes last month. God was looking and saying, it does not matter what kind of people you are. The only thing that matters is if you've taken the lamb's blood and put it on the door. That's the only thing that mattered that night. And verse number 29 in our text, we didn't read it, but it tells us that night at midnight, death came passing through the land of Egypt at midnight. And when death got to a door and it didn't see any blood, death was allowed to enter into that home. And death brought death to the firstborn in that home. But man, I am so incredibly thankful that when death passed by a home, and it looked up and it said, you know, there's blood up there. I'm going to have to keep on passing by. Because the blood is guarding those people. The blood is protecting those people. And the blood is keeping those people safe from death. And that night, I imagine there are cries all around from mothers waking up and realizing that their firstborn son has been slain because they didn't put blood on the door. And Pharaoh wakes up and he realized his son, the firstborn son who was supposed to be Pharaoh when he died, he looked and his son was dead. And I can imagine Pharaoh gets so mad that he calls Moses and Aaron. He says, you get yourself, your people, and your God, and you get out of my land tonight. And can I tell you, that night, because the people of Israel shed the blood's lamb and put the lamb's blood on the door, they got to walk out of Egypt as free people. And that night, they were redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And they walked out of there, and they found brand new life. Now, wouldn't you say that that's a night to be celebrated? Wouldn't you say that that's a night to be remembered, and that is why every single year on that 14th day until the 22nd day, Jews and Hebrews from all over the world gather to celebrate the night God set them free by the blood of this Lamb. That's the story of the first Passover, church. But if you know me, you know that I'm not the least bit done with this sermon. Because there's some good news that's coming right on the way. Some of you may be sitting there in your homes asking this question, "Preacher, should we celebrate the Passover? Should we remember the Passover coming up this Wednesday at sundown? After all, the Old Testament tells us to celebrate the Passover, to remember the Passover." Let me say this. If you want to celebrate the Passover on Wednesday night, you go right ahead. There is not one thing wrong with remembering and celebrating this night. But I'll tell you one thing. This week is not about the Passover. This week is about something that's a whole lot greater. This week is about something that's more fulfilling. This week is something that is better than the Passover. And this week is something about a day called Good Friday. Because can I tell you, although Passover is real good, there's a day that came called Good Friday that is a whole lot better. You say, "How is that, preacher?" Well, allow me to explain why Good Friday is better than Passover. I don't have time to get into all of it. But if you'd like to look at your gospel accounts tonight in the New Testament, you will find in Matthew chapter number 21 on a day called Palm Sunday, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. We call that Palm Sunday. That day is today. And if you'd like to look that up in the gospels, you will find, do you know what day he rode into Jerusalem? The 10th day of the month. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. And when John the Baptist saw him in Matthew chapter number 3, he said, "I want you to look, guys. That is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He was God's perfect, spotless Lamb. And can I tell you, for 3.5 years, every single person in Israel examined this Lamb. They watched this Lamb. They looked at this Lamb. And His disciples figured out that He was the Son of God. He was the one that was without sin. He was the one that did not have spot nor blemish. And even Pilate, somebody who was not a godly man, not a Christian man, he looked and said, "I cannot find any fault in this man named Jesus." So when the people looked at Jesus, even people that did not even know the Old Testament or your Bible, said, "Jesus has no fault in Him." Jesus was a spotless Lamb. And if you would like to tonight, as you're reading through the Gospels, fast forward 4 days. From that Sunday where He rode into Jerusalem on that 10th day, fast forward 4 days to a Thursday night. And on that Thursday night at 6 p.m. started the 14th day of Nisan. You will find that the disciples are gathered together in an upper room with the Lord Jesus in what we call the Last Supper. But did you know what they were doing on the Last Supper? They were celebrating the what? The Passover. Because on the 14th day, every single year, they celebrated the Passover when that lamb was killed so that they might be set free. And I like this. Little did the disciples know, they were sitting beside the ultimate and final lamb. All around Jerusalem, all around Israel that night, lambs were being killed, but the disciples in that upper room were sitting right beside the final Lamb of God. Can I tell you, if you can fast forward from that night about 12 hours, their time goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the next day, so it is still the 14th day of Nisan. And this lamb was taken, this lamb was arrested, and this lamb was raised up on a vertical piece of wood and a horizontal piece of wood, and he was crucified, and he was seen laying down his life for you and for me. Can I tell you, Jesus' blood was shed for us, just like this lamb's blood was shed in Exodus 12. And can I tell you, that flesh that was roasted with fire that day for 6 hours on the cross at Calvary, Jesus hung up there on the cross on a horizontal piece and a vertical piece of wood, and He died on the cross for our sins. And that moment, for those 3 hours when Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He endured the fiery heat of God's wrath and God's judgment, not because of His sin, but because of your sin and my sin. Jesus did that. So can I tell you something this morning? Jesus wasn't crucified for the things He did. Jesus was crucified for the things I did. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. So you see this morning, church, at Wednesday at sundown, Passover is going to begin, and Passover is real awesome. We need to remember it. But all Passover was doing was looking forward to a whole lot better day when the real Lamb, the final Lamb, would be slain to cover the sins of the world. Passover's good, but Good Friday is a whole lot better. Because that lamb in Exodus 12 didn't cover my sins, but that lamb in John 20 covered my sins. You see, I just went through, Jesus was a spotless lamb. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. But you know what I missed, Brother Danny? I just missed the third point. The spared people. You know, last night I was laying in my bed because I couldn't really sleep. I was thinking about this message. That's usually what happens on Saturday night. And I was laying there, and it was in complete silence, and I was thinking about this first Passover night. And what that must have been like for the Hebrew people. Moses came and said, listen, guys, God is going to bring death tonight. Death is going to pass by every single household tonight. And you can imagine, as Moses said, death's coming. Fear raised up in their minds. Fear raised up in their hearts and said, I don't want death to come into my house. Well, Moses said, well, good, there's some good news, because all you've got to do is take the blood of the lamb, put it on the upper post and the two side posts. And God said, death won't be allowed. Death won't be allowed to cross the blood. And I imagined myself in the bed last night thinking, what if death came to my house tonight? What if death came to my house tonight? Would I be scared? What would happen? And I tell you, death comes to nearly every single house in our country. Death comes to everybody. The thing about death is you have no idea when it's coming to your house. But you know, last night, if I laid there thinking death just might pass by my house tonight, you know what happened? Not 1 ounce of fear rose up in my body, Brother Danny. Because you know what I realized? There came a time in my life when I was 12 years old that Jesus showed up and He began to knock at the door of my heart and said, hey, I'm your Savior. I died for you. I love you and I want to save you. And on that day I said, Jesus, I love you too. Will you come into my heart and save me? And on that day the blood was applied to my heart and applied to my soul. So last night when I thought death just might come before I wake up in the morning, I was not one bit scared, because the blood has been applied and death has lost its sting. Let me ask you something. If death were to come to your house before the sun goes down tonight, are you scared? When you think about death, does it scare you? I'm not talking about scared to leave your wife or your kids behind. I'm talking about scared to die. Let me say this. If you've never applied the blood of Jesus to your soul, you need to be scared. You need to be not only scared, you need to be absolutely petrified. Because the Bible says to die without Christ is to go to a place called hell. And I don't know about you, but even the thought of hell absolutely terrifies me. To think that people that I know, people that I love, because they've never put the blood on their heart, could end up going there one day. Whoever you are, I don't know where you are. I may not even know your name. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Because you know, we don't have to take the spotless lamb. He already came. We don't have to sacrifice the lamb. He already died. But you know, we do have a part. We have to take the blood and apply it. We have to take the blood and put it on our soul. And I'm so thankful to that day when this soul leaves this body, God is not going to look at Justin and say, did you do more good than bad? Did you go to church? Did you pay your tithe? But on that day, God's going to look at my soul and say, is there blood? Is the blood of Jesus applied to your soul? People don't go to hell because they drink beer, smoke pot, or cuss. People go to hell because they do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And people do not go to heaven because we come to church and pay our tithe. We go to heaven because a man named Jesus is our Savior. And that's it. So today I'm going to ask you the most important question anybody's ever asked you before. What have you done with Jesus? Because that's the only thing that matters. What have you done with the blood of God's Lamb? You say, I'm scared to die. I don't want to die. Can I tell you, all you've got to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and He will change everything that you think about death. For Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When Paul trusted Christ, he looked forward to death because he said to be with Him is far better. And if you're out there right now, you say, I am scared. I want to trust in Jesus. The only thing that you have to do is bow right where you are and say this, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've failed You. I've not been the person that I've wanted to be. But I realize right now that 2,000 years ago You came, You died on the cross, You shed Your blood, and You rose from the dead 3 days later so that I might have eternal life. And today, by faith, I receive You into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of my sins. And today I make You my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just made that decision today, can I tell you there will not come an hour, a second, and a day the rest of your life that you'll regret it. Because when Jesus comes into your heart, He gives you new life in a new place. I don't know about you, I'm so thankful that 2,000 years ago that Lamb came and died so that we might have eternal life. And this week is Passion Week. And I invite you every day this week to just get down on your knees and say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for coming to the cross, for dying for my sins, and giving me new life. Church, I want to thank you so much for joining with us here this morning on Facebook. I want to thank Brother Danny and Miss Carol coming to sing for us this morning. I hope you've enjoyed church this morning. I do ask you that you would continue to pray. You know, there is a cure for the coronavirus. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And he said, my people. We are His people. It is our responsibility and it is our job to pray for our nation. So I pray that you are continuing to pray and that God is just doing a work there in your home. You know, although we can't come to church, some of you can't go to your jobs, you know what you can do? You can spend time with your family. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed my time with my wife over the past few weeks being quarantined. I want you to spend time with your family this week. And I want you to spend time with God this week. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the home that He's given you. But most of all, thank God that if those people in your home are saved, thank God that the people beside you, we're not just going to live together down here, we're going to live together up there. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus that still cleanses us from all sin. Church, I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. If you can, join with us this Wednesday night. We will go through our Bible study again, talking about the Holy Spirit. We do love each one of you, and I hope you all have a good week. I love you, and God bless you.